If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws and Islamic laws about Hajj, but according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about Hajj or the pilgrimage to Mecca based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Tawheed. Sheikh Tawheed, if a muhrim asks a non-muhrim to cover his head with blanket when he's asleep, what's the ruling about this? Imagine he acts upon his request. Is kafara obligatory or not? And in the case of obligation of kafara, who's to pay it?
Well, a muhrim, we know, is not allowed to ask another person to put a blanket or throw a blanket on him to cover his head. But if a person on, if a non-muhrim individual, does it by himself without that person asking him to do so, then it's not it's not known that that muhrim is supposed to pay kafara. Kafara is not does not become obligatory, and it's not as at least known that it becomes obligatory. So and the person who who makes such a request is not so under any obligation in this scenario.
I see. Okay. Is it allowed, Sheikh Tawheed, for a muhrim to seek protection against rain while traveling in the night? For example, with an umbrella or under a roof of a bus or a car?
Yeah, we know very well that, that shedding is not allowed during the day. But at night, of course, on the basis of obligatory precaution, one should avoid such things like umbrella, the examples you gave, or traveling by a roofed bus or car, or in a car, roofed car. So, in the event that it does not lead to unbearable difficulty or hardship, but if it does lead to unbearable hardship, so you, for example, there is torrential rain, or maybe even there is not torrential, it's drizzling outside.
Yes.
And you want to keep an umbrella overhead. It's not the daytime, it's the nighttime, okay? But probably it's a moonlit night, a night with the moon over the head. So in that case, the precaution is not to do so. And one should avoid doing it unless it becomes difficult. So if it becomes difficult, you can do so at night.
Mm-hmm. So you also answered my question regarding drizzle, light rain.
Yeah.
Right? So let me ask you another question regarding covering the head. So is covering head more than once?
Yes.
Requires multiple kafaras?
Yeah. His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that based on precaution, ihtiyat, that person who covers his head many a times and several times should also repeat the kafar. He should give the penalty as many times as he covers his head.
Mm-hmm. How about a man making foreplay with his spouse and he gets discharged? What's the kafara? What's the penalty?
So, of course, we know that engaging in sexual activity is absolutely forbidden during ihram and even after ihram, as long as a person has not completed tawaf al-nisa. So, when it comes to the kafara of engaging in sexual activity, the audience should note that the kafara is very difficult, it's very heavy. The kafara for the foreplay that leads to discharge of semen, to ejaculation, is a camel, which a person should slaughter.
Not a sheep.
Not a sheep, yes.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back after the break and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about Hajj based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javed. Sheikh Javed, is there any difference for obligation of penalty or kafara for kissing, whether or not it is with lust or accompanied by discharge of semen?
Yes. His Eminence says that if a person kisses his wife, or let's say a non-mahram woman, with lustful intention, mm-hmm. and the intention is to drive pleasure, then the kafara, the penalty, is to slaughter a camel. But if there's no such intention, and there's no lustful intention, then the kafara is to slaughter a sheep. So His Eminence also says that kissing one's mother, son, or daughter is not prohibited, and there's no kafara, because you are kissing your son, and it's okay. Kissing right. your mother is
it's
also
out of
okay.
Infection.
Yeah, that's something else.
I see. Okay. Another question I would like to ask you is that if a pilgrim commits intercourse with his wife after two stays, two roofs, and before the completion of Tawaf al-Nisa, what's the ruling about this?
Well, we know that unless a person completes Tawaf al-Nisa, he cannot engage in any sexual activities. So if a person commits intercourse with his wife between, let's say, Mash'ar and Tawaf al-Nisa, you know, Mash'ar is not the last Hajj ritual. There are more rites to be performed, like stoning, like wukuf at Mina, and then Tawaf, and then science between Safa. Those are the main major parts of the Hajj are still left. So if a person has intercourse with his wife, let's say, as you mentioned, between Mash'ar and Tawaf and Nisa, his Hajj is valid, and only and he should pay kafara. And it is after Tawaf and Nisa that, you know, if a person does so, engages in a sexual activity, there is no kafara. Otherwise, the kafara, as I mentioned, is a camel that must be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sheikh Javed, I would like to ask you a couple of questions, quite related, like a series of questions.
Sure.
Related to what I'm going to just say. You know, in the Persian Gulf area, there is a tradition that women cover their faces. In other words, they cover their faces with a piece of cloth other than their veil.
Yeah.
Which is called pushia or whatever. In the West, I think they call it the burqa.
Okay, burqa?
Yeah.
Yeah, burqa, well, it is, yeah, it's a, an as all covering garment.
Yes. So they cover their face with another piece of cloth.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes it is connected to the, what do you call it, their veil, but sometimes it's not, it's separate. So what's the ruling of this when women cover their face with that in a state of ihram?
Well, it's not permissible for a man or a woman, it does not make any difference, to cover his or her face, okay? And no matter what the excuse, okay, women are also supposed to keep their faces uncovered. Okay, when it comes to covering their head, that's a difference
mm-hmm.
between men and women. Men are not supposed to not to cover their head, but women are supposed to cover them.
Mm-hmm. But not their face.
Yeah, not their faces, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, does it make it any difference if the pushia, for example, is switched, is stitched to the veil and is considered part of it?
It
like the
not,
one that I said, the burqa?
Yeah, it does not make any difference whether you... you wear it, you call it, let's say, pushia or burqa or whatever the name, okay, because the different names are given to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes no difference whether it is stitched to the veil or is it separate from it, whether
right.
it is this, you know, even the material that is used, they make no difference. The prohibition is not lifted. It remains in effect,
mm-hmm.
even in the said case.
Okay, thank you very much, Shabit. And thank you, my dear listeners, for choosing our channel, RIB English Radio, this network. Well, and thank you very much for listening to this program, Islamic Laws, in which we try to touch on some of the jurisprudential laws of pilgrimage to Mecca or Hajj, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم مجا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا